Edition of Tony Tolato on Sci-Fi Talk.
Kind of like Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings, a character I played.
Remember him?
But I remember him. An oldie but a goodie, folks.
Julian Sands is a creepy man.
Who is your master, Padawan? Someone I killed, perhaps?
Wow, hey, that's great.
Appreciate it, I do.
My guy, the Archangel Gabriel, is in. Wow, that was early.
What is most important is that Burnham forgives herself. Because as Burnham, I carry a tremendous amount of guilt and shame.
Well, my name is Alex Sahara. I played a raven god, Zales, to Iron Shirt, the one-eyed Unas, freaky leader. So, Kokaka Unash. Omen Kokaka Unash.
So it's over there, sci-fi talk. typical sci-fi talk behavior.
Special effects, and what's it like for you both to kind of act to things that aren't there?
Well, you know, sometimes you have that experience anyway with people that are there.
Thanks, God. Someone that bad.
In part because of the hopeful nature of Gene's vision, but also because of its message of diversity and inclusion.
Live long and prosper.
Hi, this is Tony Tolato. Welcome to Sci-Fi Talk. And today we're talking to Ryan L. Robinson, the author of The Curse of Tecumseh and Other Stories. Welcome, Ryan. It's great to talk to you and have you on the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm glad I got to meet you.
Yeah, yes, in a cyber way, of course.
Yeah, of course.
My first question is this a fiction book, or does it actually deal with the legends themselves?
It's primarily fiction. The fact that there are facts involved in the Curse of Tecumseh, I use that to kind of set the groundwork for the fiction story, the motivation, and the complications involved, you might say. But the facts about the curse are real. It's just I made up some characters and whatever to kind of explain it and, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so for those who don't know, and I have to confess, including myself, mm-hmm. Can you kind of tell us briefly about the Curse of Tecumseh and what exactly it is?
Certainly. The idea is that a president born in a year ending in zero will die in office in a sudden or violent death.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of gruesome and about that, but it seems to have been a pretty consistent thing since 1840.
So why did Tecumseh place this curse on us?
Well, first person affected was William Henry Harrison.
Oh, and yeah.
If we could remember back that far, we would know that his political slogan was Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
That's right.
Tyler was his running mate. Tippecanoe was where Harrison defeated the Shawnee at a battle. And after that, they had to move further west. Tecumseh was the Shawnee general.
Oh.
Yeah, the last battle that they were going to fight, Tecumseh got his, I think it was his brother-in-law, I forget the relationship, but got him aside and said, here, take this ramrod that he took from a gun. And he says, if I fall in battle, fight your way to my side, hit me four times with this ramrod, and I shall rise up and we shall drive the Americans from this continent. And, he was well-respected and highly thought of, you know, Tecumseh. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I guess, well, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to think about it, Tecumseh's brother-in-law died first. He could never get there.
That's
so
right.
It kind of ended. Now, there's no evidence that's actually said that Tecumseh actually put this curse on anybody or whatever. But the fact that it started with Harrison, who had beat them at Tippecanoe, and he was the first to fall, was kind of significant. And I think that it just kind of stuck. It's also referred to as the Curse of Tippecanoe. I've always known it as the Curse of Tecumseh.
Now, for your stories, did you kind of approach this from almost a supernatural vein for your fictional story?
Well, I kind of got into the character who has been running for president. And so I kind of use that as a method to explain this. And he, you know, he has to make a, he learns about this curse, and he has to make a decision. You know, is he going to continue to run for president, or is he going to be vice president, or is he going to, you know, what's he going to do? See, I wrote it, you know, a long time ago, so I couldn't actually get too accurate with what is happening now during this election season. But I think it's, you know, an interesting way to explain this this curse.
Mm-hmm. And it's the book is other stories. So besides Tecumseh, what else did you do in the book?
Well, I have put a variety of stories. You know, when you start out as a writer, you know, I think one of the most common things to do is to write short stories and kind of get your ideas down on paper and that kind of thing. So that's what I did. So I had stories, so I pulled some of the what I thought was the better ones together, you know, for my first book. But I do have one nonfiction story in there, which is Make Like a Green Panther. There is some science fiction, of course. I even have one detective story, you know, kind of a modern day just detective story. Even historical fiction.
Oh.
It's a variety, but there is science fiction in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's the teaser for the book, you know, has lines like, can furniture be heroic?
Yeah.
and how do you survive in a future nanotech dystopia? That's a good question.
Yeah.
And also, how do you talk to a fire lizard? And all of stories pertaining to all of those are in this book, huh?
Yeah. Fire Lizard is a science fiction story, and it's not that they breathe fire, but they physically look like a stick on the fire.
Okay.
You know, just to have this alien thing. You mentioned, can furniture be heroic?
Yes.
I would consider that, you know, there's a called Hampered, and but to me, that's kind of fantasy. It's not very hard science. It's just kind of a fantasy thing. And, you know, actually, it deals with a clothes hamper that is sentient, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's, Can it furniture, I guess, and can it be heroic?
Can a hamper be heroic? That's a good question.
Yeah.
That hopefully the story will answer.
Oh, it should, yes.
Yeah. And what about the nanotech?
The nanotech, oh. You know, nanotech is, I got very interested in that. That it has some extreme benefits and could have some extreme hazards.
Yeah.
And one of them is what if it goes bad?
Mm-hmm.
So you're So you're in a future where maybe technology, it kind of throws us back a little. You have maybe some benefits that are left over that provide you with some good things, but maybe not everything that was promised. If you're living in a nanotech dystopia, maybe you have, you know, like I said, some things that are abundant and other things that aren't. And how do you deal with that? The story takes place in a long stretch of the Central California Valley, in a little town. A lot of farming there and that kind of thing. So, you know, how do these people live and protect themselves and that kind of thing?
All right, why don't we take a short break? We're talking to Ryan L. Robinson about his book, really a collection of short stories called The Curse of Tecumseh and Other Stories. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Sci-Fi Talk, and I am an itinerant Caucasian theater worker.
Back on Sci-Fi Talk with Ryan L. Robinson with The Curse of Tecumseh and Other Short Stories, or other stories, not short stories, but they are short stories. When you're writing a short story, I guess you have to have a different mindset compared to writing a longer form. Is that pretty accurate?
I would think so, yes. A short story, you have to convey, you know, some kind of idea. And pretty much, I guess, you know, when you're writing a novel, you can address several ideas and have different characters going through different processes and having different kinds of problems. With a short story, you just don't have the time. So you kind of pick an idea, figure a situation where you can explain it, hopefully entertain, and put some kind of twist at the end, you know, to give it some punch or excitement.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a set length for a short story to be considered a short story? And it sounds like a stupid question, but I've always wondered, how did they determine a short story?
I don't know off the top of my head exactly what the length is, but there's stuff called flash fiction, which is really short stories. Mm-hmm. And then there's short stories. Then it kind of gets longer and longer. Then you're into the novella, which is kind of a short novel. You know, there are different stages and different lengths. And like I said, I don't know off the top of my head exactly what they are. But I guess theoretically, I remember, I think it was Asimov was talking about that. And I think it was him who wrote a short story within, you know, like a couple of paragraphs or so.
Right. Right.
You know, just a concept and what was happening.
So, you know, we're in a digital age, and one thing I ask all authors, you know, what's it like for them? I mean, this is available on Kindle, obviously, so you can get it that way, as opposed to, what, you know, I've said this billions of times, that the tactile experience of holding the book in your hands. So what's it like for you to know that this, and if there's future books, they can literally all be in somebody's device, even in their phone, if they choose to.
You know, there's two sides to that. One, you want a lot of people to read it and enjoy it and get what you hope the benefits are of the stories and that kind of thing. And the other side is you hope you got paid for it. You know, you have that kind of thing going on there. It's the two sides of the question.
So, what's kind of on the table next for you? What are you working on?
I am trying to finish up a novel. I guess I classify as space opera.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
Yeah, I kind of, it's kind of an homage back to the golden age where things were, you know, not so cutting edge. I don't know if I can really describe it. A little simpler, a little more mm-hmm. naive, but I do like the hard science, so I'm trying to make it reasonable. But if you look at it, it may not hold up like the more modern stuff.
Kind of like maybe Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon, which didn't take a lot to kind of get into, but still it was entertaining.
Yeah, maybe a little more advanced.
A little more than that?
A little more advanced, but maybe not like, cyberpunk or
right.
The real nitty-gritty kind of stuff. But anyway, I hope it's a fun read. You mentioned fire lizards before. This is actually in a universe where they are a main component.
Oh. So,
but anyway, it's like I said, hopefully just a fun read. I try to write stuff that I would enjoy reading. Anyway, I have most of it written, but I have to finish it up, do editing, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And, I'm hoping to get it out, before the end of the year.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So, I mean, does the coronavirus and what we're all going through, does that really affect a writer? I mean, it's kind of a solitary profession, so until you have to, like, interact with people, of course, but doing the job, it's really you and, you know, and your keyboard and that's, and your maybe your outline, but that's pretty much it. So has it really affected you that much as far as how you work?
No, not really. The thing is, I'm retired anyway.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So I've been home. I know I have my daily routines. It hasn't really affected me that much. I don't think I've met anybody concerning the book. You know, it's all been done via emails and, you know, that kind
sure.
of thing.
Sure.
So, hasn't been a big distraction or anything.
Right. So the book is called The Curse of Tecumseh and Other Stories. It's available, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much name it. Wherever you get your books these days, you can get it. So it sounds interesting, and I really want to thank you for being on the podcast and talking about it.
Well, I thank you for inviting me. This has been fun.
And thank you all for listening to Sci-Fi Talk. Once again, The Curse of Tecumseh and Other Stories. Until next time, this is Tony Tillo.
My name is Marlene Forte, and you are listening to Sci-Fi Talk with Tony Escribano.